97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Wiggins America.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
Wiggins America.
The only thing I'm going to need from you guys right now is a cup of coffee.
Wiggins.
Today's global economy waits for no man.
America.
Today's global business climate is like,
whatever, dude.
Hey. Politics is a dirty game. I'm not sure we want to play.
There are forces here at work that you couldn't possibly understand.
You have no idea how high up this goes.
Welcome to Wiggins America.
Well, I want the Senate and the senators to change, you know, to make the changes they want, and we'll go back to the House and we'll see if we can get them. In some cases, those changes maybe are something I'd agree with, to be honest. You know, it happens. But we've had a very good response from the Senate, and I don't know how Democrats can't vote for it. If they don't vote for it, they're talking about a 68% tax increase. Remember that. If the Democrats don't vote, it's a 68% tax increase, which is ridiculous.
I debated whether to start the show on that clip from Donald Trump, because it's actually from last weekend, but it is of ultimate importance, in my opinion. This is Wiggins America. Welcome to it. We're going to have Brad Range stopping by at the end of this show. First time he's been on the show. And then we're going to have Tricia in as well to do some X's and O's. We haven't done that in a while. We'll talk about the midterms, and I'll look at a little bit of polling. I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but I'm just telling you what's ahead in the show. It's actually kind of a fun show. So let's get down to some brass tacks here, since we're going to do a lot of fun stuff in this show and talk about the budget stuff. A lot of this probably moving in slow motion for you and me too, but I still think this is really the biggest story right now politically. Maybe not. You know, obviously there's other big stories, but I'm talking about stuff that doesn't get covered. That's tends to be what I focus on here on Wiggins America, stuff that's not quite as headline oriented, but still, to me, is the big news. And that's why we're talking about the budget. Trump there talking about how, and this is good news to me, that he is willing to see the Senate cut the bill down. Now, it depends on which direction this thing is going to go, because there's been so many senators come out at different points in the week and say different things, of course. But it started with, you have your it's all Republicans negotiating with Republicans. Democrats aren't a part of this at all. So let's get that out of the way. But you have Republicans negotiating with Republicans over spending. And you have the kind of left moderate part of the Republican Party, which would include Lisa Murkowski, obviously, Susan Collins are your big names. But then for some reason, Mitch McConnell is now associated with the leftist part of the Republican Party. Why has that happened? Just because he doesn't like Donald Trump? I mean, I really don't know. But he's kind of a swamp guy, maybe. Nah, I don't know. Tom Tillis of North Carolina, that guy for some reason can't get out of his own way. He seems super swampy. It wouldn't have even been on my radar to be swamp guy, but he's been all over it. And then you have Lindsey Graham, you know, like typical back and forth from Lindsey Graham. As you're kind of like, we don't like this bill, but we're not really saying why, because it maybe doesn't spend enough. I mean, they haven't really said. It cuts too much. Okay. Cool, Republicans. You want to go deeper into debt. Now, the other half, though, is, and the big names here are Rand Paul, who, of course, but Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. This guy's been fantastic this week. Here's one clip from him.
I couldn't care less if he's upset. I'm concerned about my children, my grandchildren, and the fact that we are stealing from them. We are stealing from our children and grandchildren. $37 trillion in debt, and we're going to add to it as Republicans? That is unacceptable. And that's why there's no way I'm going to vote for this bill in its current form.
I don't care who's mad at it. We're Republicans. We can't keep going into debt. That's what I've been saying the whole time. There's a lot about the big, beautiful bill that I do like. But if you're going to spend more than you're making, I don't like it. You know why? Because we're $37 trillion in debt, and the number one line item that we spend in this country is now just interest on that debt. We can't do it. You cannot keep doing it. And a lot of these sort of pragmatists are saying, yeah, but you got to pass something, and this is a better bill. And I agree with that. It is better. It spends about 75% less into the debt than the current Democrat budget does. So that's good, but that means that 25% overspends still. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't keep doing that. And this is really your big chance to stop overspending. It doesn't mean you'll get out of the national debt. It just means you won't keep adding to it. And if Scott Bessent is right, and I don't know where Scott Bessent really lands on this. He's so robotic all the time in a charming way that I wonder whether he really believes that they're gonna grow their way out. We're going to grow our way out of debt. I think that is possible, but you have to start by stopping the debt. You can't just keep adding to debt. I mean, this is really basic stuff. And so to hear Ron Johnson of Wisconsin come out and keep saying these things.
Acceptable.
Can you see yourself voting for this big, beautiful bill at all?
Not in the current structure, no. Yeah, I refuse to vote for something that's going to actually increase the deficits, exacerbate the problem from the current situation. Again, we shouldn't be talking about this right now. We should have been doing all the work, like I say, multi-step process. We'd already have the border funding. We'd have defense. We'd have $850 billion of real savings banked already. Plus, we could have extended current tax law, taken tax rate increase off the table. We could have had all that done, but unfortunately, decisions were made to do one big, beautiful bill. It's not beautiful. I'm sorry. It's not a big, beautiful bill. That's called rhetoric.
It's very encouraging to me. It's what I said last weekend, which was the Overton window has to shift. We can all say, it's not really possible. You got to get the best you can get. But really, the whole conversation needs to shift toward, no, the budget needs to be balanced. We have to do this. We're Republicans. We have to balance the budget. This is what we run on. Thank God we're actually getting there to an extent. I don't know that whether we'll actually get there, but the conversation is moving there.
One of the things that's being covered indirectly is the fact that we'll be lowering the cost of drugs from 50 to 85% under Trump. And it's going to have indirectly something to do, not directly, but indirectly something to do with the bill, the one big, beautiful bill. And it is a big, beautiful bill. And so I think the Senate is going to get there. I hope they're going to get there. I think they're going to have changes. Some will be minor and some will be, you know, fairly significant. But we've been working with the House all the way up. They've been working together. And the Speaker has been working with the leader of the Senate. And, you know, they've done a great job. John Thune and Mike Johnson have done a fantastic job. They've been working together all the way up, so hopefully that'll be fine.
Again, there is good stuff in this bill, so people who are fighting for it saying we got to pass the tax cuts and all that stuff. Yeah, of course we do, but that's for now. Actually, that's for 2025. It has to just go into effect by the end of this year. So I don't know why we're in such a big hurry. The only hurry there really is on this is that right now, under the current spending, which does not codify DOGE cuts and all that stuff, that's a big concern here, is that why are we even doing DOGE if you're not going to put it into the bill? Like, it's so ridiculous. But right now, every year, we're going $2 trillion more into debt on the current Democrat budget. And it's a Democrat budget because it was Joe Biden's budget, basically. Now, you have a Republican Congress, Republican president, and they've cut that down to be around $500 billion. So again, that's a quarter of what it was. But that's still $500 billion that's going toward more debt every year under this new budget. And Ron Johnson, Wisconsin, you know, if they were to do the little Cosmo tests, like, who's your favorite senator? I don't know that he would have come up as mine, but I think he might now. I really like this guy. In fact, I look back at all the stuff that he's said over the years, and I'm like, I think I really like this guy. I want to adopt Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. But all the stuff that's in it, like a lot of the tax cuts, a lot of the stuff that you're hearing is good. It's just that it's still spending too much. There are areas that are still easy to cut, too. You can still cut out more of the Green New Deal crap that was passed by the Democrat Congress with Joe Biden. They still haven't even repealed all of that, let alone adding in the DOGE cuts. I don't think this really sounds that hard. I mean, it's $500 billion, so, you know, it's that's a lot of money you still got to cut from the budget. But ultimately, they have to do it. And there are areas right in front of their face saying, please cut me, that they're not doing, and they need to get there. Hopefully, they can get the Murkowskis and the Collins and the McConnells on board. Because it's the conservatives, really, that are being the loudest right now. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Trisha and Serious Questions.
Wiggins America.
What do you think about, like, is this your favorite season? Are you sad that it's getting hot?
No, I'm excited.
I used to hate summer. For whatever reason, I think it's because I used to work at golf courses.
And it was so hot.
And that was the prime season for work, and it was so hot, and it was just miserable, and I just hated being outside all day, every day, working those jobs. They were good jobs, but I just didn't like them, and, I mean, just didn't like the weather. But now, I love summer.
The older I get, the more I hate winter, so the further away we can get from it. I almost like spring more just because it's the furthest point away from
winter.
Mm-hmm.
See, I still like fall the best.
I love fall, but it starts creeping up.
Yeah.
You get to the holidays, it starts getting cold, then you get the seasonal depression.
I don't know what it is about summer as I've gotten older, and maybe it's the kids thing, that I love 4th of July with my kids. And I just keep relishing every 4th as we just sit there and they play and we watch. I'm like, mm-hmm. At some point, they're not going to play anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a moment that I can always refer to that I'm like, oh, they're still playing. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But it's just a thing.
That's really nice.
Let's do serious questions.
Serious question.
First one. Power Rangers writer says casting black and Asian actors as the black and yellow Rangers was a mistake. Did you know this?
No.
Were you a Power Rangers person?
Yes.
Were you?
Yeah.
So the show started in 1993.
Oh, okay. I get why now.
The racial implication.
Yeah, but when we were kids, we didn't think about that.
Nobody's going.
We were just like, those are the cool Power Rangers.
Yeah.
It didn't matter.
It didn't matter.
And there was diversity in the group, which was nice to not think about it.
That was the point, kind of, I think. It's a diverse group of kids.
Would it have been better if they made them the pink and the blue Ranger?
That's a good question. You're getting close to my serious question, but I'll tell you the info here is that Mighty Morphin Power Rangers writer Tony Oliver has said that it was such a mistake, quote unquote, to cast a black actor to play the Black Ranger and an Asian actor to play the Yellow Ranger on the first two seasons of the 1990s superhero show. Walter Emmanuel Jones was Zack Taylor / Black Ranger, and Tui Trang as Trini Kwan was the Yellow Ranger. But he says that was a major mistake, that the first two seasons should not have done that. So first of all, I think my initial reaction to this story was, oh yeah, I can see somebody saying that now because this is the world we live in. But at the time, did you ever think, oh, this is a problem?
No.
Do you think anybody really was thinking that?
No, I don't think so. I loved that show. I thought it was awesome, and I loved all of them. Except for there was a Billy. He might have been the Blue Ranger.
Yeah, he was the nerd.
Yeah.
He was actually big. Did you realize that?
I think me and my parents used to make fun of him.
Well, the acting wasn't great on the show.
No, it was terrible, and I was a kid, but I kind of remember like an ongoing joke in our house about Billy the Blue Ranger.
You know, I never really found out, and I assume from knowing production now that looking back on this was a Japanese TV show, or I think it was Japanese, maybe Korean. I can't remember which one it started, but it was huge in both countries and all of Asia. And I think that it would have been very easy, and I assume that they did this, but I don't really know, to take all the fight scenes and just redub them with the actors' voices in English, and then just shoot the parts with the actors, mm-hmm. where you wouldn't even have to redo any. Those people were not in those costumes fighting those battles, ever. You just dubbed their voices. So you could make a lot of TV shows out of the same fight scenes.
Just this, use the same footage. And,
yeah. And I'm pretty sure they probably did that, mm-hmm. but I'm not completely sure.
Yeah, I loved that show.
My serious question is...
Serious question.
If you watch this show in China or South Korea or wherever, and they had all Chinese actors or whatever nation they're in, all South Korean actors in them, but they had one white guy, and he was the White Ranger, would you be offended?
I would not.
I wouldn't either.
Personally.
I was trying to put myself in the opposite person's mm-hmm. shoes, and I did that here, and I'm like, I don't think
so. No, I would not. No, but there was a lot of media when we were growing up that had was very questionable. As far as I'm taking a hard left turn here. But I look back on a lot of the media we were consuming as far as, like, as a girl, like a young girl, and, like, the Britney Spears, the Christina Aguilera, the, like, female body image, sexualization, all of that stuff in the 90s, it was a freaking free-for-all with kids and the way we objectified them. And so there was a lot going on at the time where we weren't looking at any of it as odd. But looking back now, you can find compilations or whatever it is. But looking back on it now, it's like, yeah, I kind of get why a lot of us need therapy these days.
Yeah, there should have been more restrictions from parents, I think.
Certainly.
There should have been like, that's not cool.
It was themes in the Mickey Mouse Club. It was on Nickelodeon. It was young children actors that we all idolized, and parents didn't know you had to stop your kid from watching Disney Channel.
Yeah, it's weird because I remember my parents not allowing me to watch Beavis and Butthead mm-hmm. when I was a kid because of the language and the themes and stuff.
I couldn't watch Beavis and Butthead, and I couldn't watch Ren and Stimpy, but my parents weren't like, don't watch Lizzie McGuire.
It's tough because it was a transition. Like, the 80s was actually pretty innocent. It was like there was a lot of sexual themes to stuff, mm-hmm. but it was hidden. It was a little more innuendo. And in the 90s, they decided to just not really innuendo anymore. Mm-hmm. And it was a deluge. So it had to be difficult for an 80s, 90s parent to suddenly say, oh no, I need to completely back out of all media in the way that we've had to kind of piece together as parents in this generation. Mm-hmm. It's a little easier now, I think, in a sense, which is weird to say, but you don't just turn the TV on anymore. You turn specific things
on.
Yeah,
you have more control over what the thing is that's being delivered to your kid.
So in that sense, it's actually easier to choose what you know is safe versus what's not. And there's a lot more information about what's what, too.
Well, and there's more. I'd say that now there's more out there that is inappropriate. But like you said, you have more control over it.
Right.
Serious question.
Theme park fans can enter for free, but only with this first name. So one day only deal had happened a couple weeks ago. Legoland Windsor Resort in London was celebrating the first anniversary of the world's first Lego dueling roller coaster, Minifigure Speedway, by offering free entry to the park for one day only to guests named Roxanne or Roxy. The offer was in honor of the world's tallest Lego minifigure, Roxy, who stands 30 feet tall as the official mascot of the dueling coaster. Serious question.
Serious question.
Would you change your name to get into an amusement park for free?
How serious is the name change? Legally?
Yes.
In this, I would say generally no. In this instance, yes, because I have always wanted to be called Roxy.
That you think the universe is handing you a sign?
Yeah, I was already leaning into Roxy. Yeah. I always wanted to have kind of a and pardon me if your name is Roxanne or Roxy, but I always wanted to have kind of a stripper name.
It's a stage name.
A female
certainly.
Stripper name. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought that would go well in media. But I've already established Wiggins America, so I can't change my last name. I can
Roxy
change my
Wiggins.
First name. Roxy Wiggins. Last one. Controversial restaurant offers up 20% skinny discount if customers can fit their body through varying spaces.
This is what the Disney Channel was doing to young women in the 90s.
Oh, really? So you're against it.
This, I don't know yet. Go on.
So it's better to see this than to hear it, but they have these, it's like a jail bar where the two of them are really close together. And if you can fit through those two, you get a 20% discount. Then there's two that are right next to each other that are a little bit further apart. And you get 15, and there's a little bit further. And then the other one is just anybody can get through this door, but you get no discount. But you just have to walk through it to get into the restaurant. So,
well, I cannot believe that this is allowed. Where is this?
Oh, good question. This is a international breakfast food diner. I'm trying to find where it is, though. I'm pretty sure this is in the U.S. because the pictures that I was looking at just look like a bunch of people just, you know, laughing and trying to get through it. No, it doesn't say the city, but it is in America because people are saying that they should get sued. Or people saying that if this is in America, it should get sued. So it doesn't say what city it's in.
Wait, I see one in Thailand. Is that possibly the case?
Oh, maybe. Maybe because people are saying if it's in America, they should get sued.
Yeah. It says food 20%, real thin 15, 10, 5.
That's the one.
And
yeah,
then
that's it.
Full price, sorry.
Yeah.
That's what it says underneath it.
Yeah. So my question is, serious question.
Serious question.
Would you participate? Would you try it?
Well, sure.
You would?
I mean, if I'm there anyway, don't think I'd seek it out for the novelty or whatever. I don't know, maybe if the food was good. But yeah.
Gotta tell you, the people trying to get through it who didn't, it's pretty embarrassing. So
you
I just know.
You kind of look at it and go, yeah, I think I can do that.
I would think that there's two spots where you'd get stuck, for a guy anyway. It would be your belly or your head.
The head scares me. What if you get in and your face is caught in there?
Well, you can turn one way or another.
That's true.
It's not as if this is like a long, it's not like you're in a door frame or something. It's just a bar. So you're not going to really get stuck, I don't think. Once you get past the biggest part, you're through.
Mm-hmm.
But the head, I just don't know. Like, my belly's not big, but it's not small.
Yeah, you can kind of suck
you
it
can
in,
kind
but
suck
your head
that
is
in.
What it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd do it?
Have you done that? Yeah, I'd do it. Have you done the limbo recently?
No.
Very difficult.
I've never tried these things as an adult. I will say, when I was a kid, here's a crazy thing. Ponderosa used to weigh you to get a discount. But it was only kids. Only kids. So if you weighed a certain amount, you got a certain percent off.
They did not.
I'm not kidding.
This is the weirdest. You're blowing my mind here.
Yeah, I remember because whenever my dad was out of town, my mom would be like, oh, we get to go to Ponderosa. It was like me and my mom's thing. And she'd take me to Ponderosa because the kids would get such a steep discount if you didn't weigh that much.
All right. So this is the reason the whole body positivity movement now has gone too far. The pendulum swung way too far the other direction.
I agree.
But we were legit weighing kids back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah, but I didn't have any sort of complex over it. I knew.
If you weren't getting a discount, you might have.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I wasn't like a fat kid. So if you were a fat kid, maybe you're feeling pretty bad about it. But couldn't you just not go? Like, just go, don't go to
Ponderosa.
Well,
what if your mom's like, maybe this time you get a discount and your mom makes you go every time and uses it to convince you to lose weight? I don't know.
Well, then you're talking about a completely different issue.
Parenting.
That's your parenting. Mm-hmm. I don't think.
But society was allowing for that.
Yeah. I think we should go back to that.
You think we should?
I think we should do that at every restaurant.
To everybody, not just kids.
Not just kids.
Anybody that walks in, weigh them.
Yeah. And whatever percent over 200 you are, you have to pay extra. Under 200, you get a little less. Can you tell where my weight stands?
Yeah.
It's right around there.
you just want a little discount.
Yeah, just a little discount. A little motivation for me to lose weight. Yeah. Weird midterm next year. Because the issues really are siding with Republicans right now. And if they can get the economy really cranking by November of 2026, it is going to be tough to be a Democrat because I'm not sure really what you run on right now. I really don't. I mean, they're going to come up with something out of the big, beautiful bill once it passes. And don't get me started on that. Don't get me started on that. But they'll come up with something on that to run on. It'll probably be Medicaid or something like that. But if people aren't really feeling the difference, I'm just not even sure these are issues. And that's what Republicans are going to great lengths to make sure of, is that really you're not going to notice much of a difference. It's more of a talking point than it is something you're going to feel. And that's why the economy is so important. Anyway, I started officially predicting elections in 2023, like going on record on this show so that we can be recorded and then come back the next week and see how I did. And that was a weird one because that was special elections and there was only about four or five of them. And I'm only picking hard ones here. I'm not picking, you know, slam dunk elections to just drive my numbers up. And I got all those right. And then 2024, obviously, huge election, picked the exact number of senators that we'd have, 53 Republicans. Picked the exact number of swing states, every single one of them that would go to Trump and every one that didn't. And then picked Trump and then got, you know, picked a slim majority in the House. I didn't say the exact number, but I got that right, too. And then 2025, you know, we just had the Wisconsin special election and Republicans were seemingly very driven there. A lot of money being spent, but it didn't go the way of Republicans. And so they'll probably redraw the lines up in Wisconsin. That'll cost Republicans a House seat. It's a big deal. But I picked that one too. So going into 2026, there are things like this that I'm watching to see what it's going to be like in that election. I know we're still way far out, but everybody's always thinking about it. This is from Eric Doherty, who is a reporter for some newspaper in Florida, but he's got a huge Twitter following too. He says, holy smokes, President Trump amassed $600 million in political donations already for the 2026 midterm elections and is looking to get $1 billion. And keep in mind, he's not even up for election. I'm paraphrasing here. I'm using his info, but I'm talking to you as I'm doing it. He's going to try to save the Republican Party in another election, isn't he? Eric Doherty says. Quote, it's an unprecedented sum in modern politics, particularly for a lame duck president who is barred by the U.S. Constitution from running again. Trump is eager to reverse the tide of Democrats routinely outraising GOP candidates and wants to maximize his own impact as president, says a, I think this is somebody within the party who maybe he's not quoting directly. It's a direct quote. He didn't cite the quote. Any money left over after his term could help him maintain enormous influence over Republican Party, cementing his status as the most influential kingmaker and potential patron through 2028 and beyond. So what you have here is a president who knows that it is important to keep the House. The Senate, if we haven't discussed this recently, looks pretty dang good for Republicans in 2026. Nothing's for sure, but it's another really good map. And so I think there's less hand-wringing over that as there is the House, of course. The House is weird because we are down, I think in 2010, remember the Obama shellacking, the Tea Party movement? I think there were around 100, between 80 and 100 swing districts then. There's only 435 total House members. So you bring it down to about 80 that really are winnable. The rest are predetermined. And they won, you know, the vast majority of those swing districts, and they had this massive majority for a while. Well, that number, because of technology, really, in the way they gerrymander the districts now, has shrunk to where now here in 2025, you really only have about 40 districts, maybe even less than that. Depends on how you define a swing district. So we'll go with 40 and less if you want to get technical. So you're only talking, it's like $1 billion. You have to run good candidates, of course. That's always the case. But to spend $1 billion in a lot of these are little bitty areas, that can go a long way. So I'm not exact, and if Trump is there campaigning with these people, sometimes, you know, it might be only 20 people he's got to really focus on to maintain, because you only need a couple seats like they have now. I almost prefer that they only have a couple seats, because otherwise they start spend. That's another topic. But it's going to be a weird year. It's going to be a weird 2026, and so keep it here. This will be the first time I've ever really predicted on record a midterm, but my track record's good. And so I don't know whether I'll have to predict like the total number of Republicans that would win or lose and like what the majority will be. That'd probably be the easiest way than picking each individual seat. But stay tuned. That's what we're going to do next year. And I'll be watching all these little facts and, of course, mainly watching the data. The money matters, but the money affects the data. And the data is what I use to predict. All right. Stick around. We are going to come right back with more Wiggins America. I had to call in the big guns for this segment. This is a segment I've been wanting to do, but I've been holding out until Brad Range could join me.
Well, I'm here now, so let's do it.
Welcome to Wiggins America. It's the first time you've been on the show.
This is great. I was always wondering what it would be like to be here this early.
It's terrible.
Terrible. It's awful.
Hey, Sunday night too, though. So,
Sunday night, you know, yeah. Or this late.
Both ends.
Yeah.
The reason I've been holding out and trying to get Brad in for this segment is because I've been looking at this article going, I got to have Brad here for this. 9 discontinued Taco Bell items we don't miss at all.
Ooh.
And
we'll see.
You used to work at Taco Bell.
I used to work there. I probably made some of these items.
And some of these I don't remember, but I want to get your opinion on them. Enchirito.
Yeah, I remember it.
That's basically an enchilada, right?
It was basically a beef, like a small flour, soft taco flour shell that was wrapped around beef and cheese with red sauce poured over it.
Those things were freaking good.
It was amazing. You just couldn't eat it while you were driving.
That's the trouble, is you had to have a fork and you had to sit down and
eat
it.
But man, if I went in, I would have one.
The Volcano Taco.
I don't remember this one, but what was it, the spicy one?
It was a hard shell taco. Yeah. You know how they do the flavored shells?
Right.
It was spicy and red.
I remember that. That was post-Brad.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know.
I didn't like it.
No, I didn't eat it.
I mean, I don't love hard shell tacos in general.
Oh, I like hard shell tacos. But like Locos Tacos, the Dorito ones, don't like those.
Great segue. That's the next one. Cool Ranch Doritos Loco Taco.
Don't miss that at all.
No?
No. It didn't go. It didn't. No.
Wait, as a consumer? Or
as a consumer, because that was also post-Brad.
Okay.
The shells were always too thin for me, and so like you would pick it up, and
they would fall apart, and the bottom gets soggy, so they all fall out.
Yeah.
And the Doritos Locos Taco, like the Cool Ranch one, it had big promise in my head.
Yeah.
But then I went to eat it, and it just didn't taste enough like a ranch taco.
Well, it didn't jive with the other seasonings in the taco.
Right. And it just didn't taste enough like... I was picturing it being more potent, and it just wasn't,
no.
Do you remember the Bell Beefer?
No, this is before me.
I think so. This is a sort of... it looks more like a sloppy Joe
that
they would put like Mexican rice and some Mexican spices on, but it's on a bun.
Old school, yeah. I remember that. I remember old hats at Taco Bell talking about this thing.
The Bell Beefer?
Yeah.
What's the deal with them bringing chicken nuggets
now? I don't know, but I'm curious.
I kind of am too. I know.
It's so stupid.
I'll probably eat it.
But like the thing about Taco Bell is they always have their own little twist to whatever's nacho fries. Those are spectacular.
Oh, they are freaking good.
So it's like maybe they could do chicken nuggets.
But they didn't even advertise that they're doing them in a Mexican Taco Bell
way. No, and they said they're bringing them back. And I was like, I don't remember them the first time.
I don't either. Unless they were there
briefly. Maybe that's part of their marketing strategy.
Loaded Grillers.
Oh, these
were probably after you too.
Yeah, these are the smaller grill items they would put on the little flat iron grill thing that they had.
Well, I don't think they're small. I think they're pretty big. I used to get a steak griller even within the last year or so.
Okay.
They were pretty big. I think they were over $5 for one griller.
Oh, okay.
They were good.
I think whenever I worked there, they called them the grilled stuffed burritos, and it was like two scoops versus one scoop and all that other stuff.
I was sad to see this on the list because I didn't know it had gone away.
It's been a while since I've been back.
What about the waffle taco?
I don't remember that one either.
That
was a breakfast item.
Yep, exactly as it sounds.
Yeah, that was after I worked there. I remember that. And what was it, like sausage and eggs?
It was sausage. It looks like butter, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
The sausage, but then a waffle is the taco.
Now that you mention, I think I remember trying it, and that was not for me.
Blackjack, last couple here, Blackjack Taco?
Nope, don't know anything
about
that.
I don't remember
that
either. It apparently didn't do very well because the taco shell was black, which looks very unappetizing.
Yes.
But it was a Halloween thing, It had some fans, but it wasn't good. Mexi Melt?
I remember those. Yeah, that was...
I don't remember those.
It was, that small soft taco shell, and then you would put 3 blend cheese on it and fiesta salsa and 1 scoop of taco meat, and they would put it in the steamer, and it would melt it, and you'd roll it up.
Oh, okay. Last one. Double Chalupa.
Double Chalupa?
Yes. Do you remember this? It came in a little... Here, I'll show you the picture. It came in a little boat like that.
Oh, where it was extra wide.
It was extra wide.
And it was extra everything in it.
It was double. Yeah, it was a double. Everything except the shell was doubled.
Yeah.
So it had the extra amount of everything in it.
I kind of remember that.
I I actually liked the idea of it. Look, I'm not opposed to like overindulgence with fast food, especially.
Yes, for sure.
So when I hear these things, I'm like, let's do it.
Let's do it.
But this one was really hard to eat because if you can, I know we're showing pictures here on the radio, but it was hard to like get a fork in there, first of all.
So you had
to get it out.
Yeah, think of it as like one of them flat bottom taco shells that's probably 3.5 inches wide.
Yes.
And it's in a little cardboard like canoe type thing.
And it ultimately, the shell to food ratio was not enough.
No.
There needed to be more shell.
More shell.
And it was just too much
and it melted and
stuff
fell apart
in there. And so it was like a good idea that just didn't work for me. Last thing before, because I got you here, I don't want to like just do the Taco Bell now because we're already done with those. So we got to transition here to something.
Okay.
Are you a big reader? Do you read nonfiction or fiction?
I do. Usually, like, the last thing I read was Joe Concha's book.
I say
read, but I listened to it.
I should have known that.
Yeah, but I loved it. It's great. If it's a good book and a good story and it sucks me in, I'll usually read a book within 2 days.
Fiction or nonfiction?
Fiction or nonfiction.
Doesn't matter?
You got to pull me in within the first chapter or so, and then I got to figure out what happens, and I'll read your whole book within a couple days.
The only fiction I've known you ever read was The Life of Human, which is a terrific book.
Yeah, and it was a great book, and it sucked me in, and I finished it within a couple days.
But I know you read a lot of nonfiction because we talk about
for sure.
Like the people we have on the Annie Fry Show. Yeah. You know, a lot of them have books, and you guys consume that stuff like crazy. I don't know how you have time. It's the audio book, right?
That's how you do it. While I'm driving into work,
I need to do that more. my wife sent me this text a few days ago, and I was like, oh, I need to mention that. And I keep forgetting. So there's an author named Catherine Center. Have you ever heard of her?
Mm-mm, no.
Okay, good, because I haven't either. I think she's kind of a chick author, is my guess.
Kind of.
I think very much so. And my wife is a literature teacher, but she just reads so much fiction stuff.
Well, you have to.
She reads across the board. She doesn't read a lot of sci-fi, which I like, but she does read a lot of stuff. And she went to meet this. Somebody in the audience is going to hear Catherine Center and go, oh, yeah, huge author, because she is.
Yeah.
I just don't know her. And they dressed up in these shirts that said, I'd rather be reading Catherine Center. And made little earrings and like lapels of her books.
Okay.
And I was like, dang, how did I not see you doing these things? Like, this is stuff that takes time. Yeah. And she goes, I'm going to see this author, you know, like a week and a half ago, because she was in St. Louis at the St. Louis County Library. And so she goes to see her, and her fellow teacher friends all meet her. And, you know, there's a line, you step and repeat, and you take a picture go. Well, she showed me the picture, and I'm like, oh, that's fun. You know, I wonder if the author cared. Well, the author then posted a picture of her with my wife and the other people.
Okay.
Three people total. On her own Instagram and Facebook.
Socials, yeah.
So I thought that was cool. And if you're a fan of Catherine Center, you actually can see my wife and two other teachers at her school wearing these, like, aqua shirts. If you really want to go find the picture, it's out there. I just wondered if you were a reader, just because I kind of wanted
to. I am a reader, but I don't know her.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't either. Apparently, she's very, very popular. All right. Well, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And you'll have to come back at some point.
Yeah, yeah. And it's in my contract.
I will wait until we have more Taco Bell news. Really narrow stuff. All right. Thanks.
Get more at 971talk.com.